Whether in Buffalo Gap or Buffalo Springs, Fort Belknap or Fort Chadburn, or Sweetwater or Sweet Home, for the news of Texas, the source is Pratt on Texas. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. Don't forget all the show's podcast at prattontexas.com so you can listen anytime, anywhere on demand. Our Lone Star story of the day is this. The Texas Democrats in the legislature know they're the minority, so every 2 years they pick what's going to be their big issue, the thing they want to score big on, and they've picked it. It's the battle to expand Obamacare in Texas, to expand Medicaid. This is a specific expansion that was optional to states of Obamacare, and that's what the Dems have picked. And guess what? This is their top legislative priority, and 9 liberal pseudo-Republicans may indeed finally help the Democrats achieve their goal of further cementing Obamacare into our culture and expanding it in Texas. And you folks in Abilene, your state rep is one of the 9. Deception and specious arguments in Lubbock's vote to pass a sanctuary city for the unborn ordinance. We'll talk a bit about that. Liberals forced to admit Texas beats California in the way we rolled out the Wu flu vaccines. And it was, about political philosophy, actually, believe it or not. Texas wins over California. Individualism wins over group collective thinking. Anyway, we've got a lot more in the stack to get to. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Today in Texas history, well, this is the day after the big victory, the 18 minutes that changed the world at San Jacinto. Today, Santa Ana was captured by the Texan army. He then agreed to terms and we let him go, and then he reneged on all that later. Coronado in 1540, this day, departed Culiacan in search of the 7 cities of gold of Cibola. This is where he made it across the Great Plains and named it the Llano Estacado, the State Plains. And the old historical association stuff still says, oh, he passed through present-day Palo Duro. This was the canyon. This was the big argument. Where was his camp? Well, they were all wrong. It wasn't further in Blanco South. It wasn't up north. It was behind the number 9 tee box at Floyd Ada Country Club. And that little bitty part of the canyon that reaches up and then, of course, becomes the draw all the way up into Plainview and running water draw. That's where Coronado's camp was. And that was 1540. Also, this day in 1689 is when a Spanish explorer, Alonso de Leon, discovered the ruins of a French settlement on the Texas coast, Fort St. Louis. That's right by La Salle. La Salle came back later and everything. See, but this was... I guess it was his plant back in about four or five years earlier. But anyway, that's in the 6 flags of Texas, you've got that French flag, and that's why. All right, my friends, I thought these headlines were interesting, especially given American Airlines CEO and their corporate staff's politicking lately. Here's 2 headlines today, both from the Associated Propagandists. U.S. airline bailout helped Southwest post $116 million profit. Okay, so taxpayers turned them to the profit. American Airlines post $1.25 billion loss, delays new jets. Maybe if CEO Doug Parker would spend more time managing the airline and learning that customers are not something to dislike, maybe he'd be performing better than, spending his time telling the Texas legislature what it ought to pass or not. This is a big story for West Texas and for the Permian Basin. Story announced today, Dateline Pinwheel, which is just out there, I guess, west of Odessa. Story in KOSA in Ector County. A multi-billion-dollar gasoline manufacturing company is coming to Ector County. Nacero Inc., a company based out of Houston, announced that it plans to build a $6.5 to $7 billion lower carbon gasoline manufacturing facility at Pinwheel in 2 phases. First phase will produce 70,000 barrels a day of gasoline. Second will increase capacity to 100,000 barrels. According to their press release, the gas produced at this facility, gasoline, will not contain sulfur and will have half the life cycle carbon footprint of traditional gasoline. The gasoline will be made from a combination of natural gas, captured biomethane, and mitigated flare gas. Yeah, right there out of the Permian. Around 3,500 workers will be employed during the four-year construction phase of phase one of the facility. Once it's operational, there will be about 350 full-time operators and maintenance personnel with really big annual salaries. Nacero says the facility's electricity will come from most of it being produced by solar panels on site and other renewables, whatever they call renewables, they're not renewables. Facility will be a first in the U.S. to make gasoline from natural gas and the first in the world to do so with carbon capture and sequestration. So it's a bit of a demonstration facility too, but I mean massive. And we're talking a massive number of construction jobs. We're not talking about the normal 150 million or whatever, of a big place. We're talking well over a billion. I mean, just a huge thing. So wonderful news there. Let's hope it's supposed to get under construction later this year. Let's hope all of that moves forward in Ector County. And my friends, the Department of Public Safety and the Texas Rangers seeking information in a cold case in Lubbock. This was a terrible story back in 1987 of 13-year-old Veronica Taylor. They've increased the reward up to $6,000 for information leading to the arrest of those responsible if the tip is received before the announcement of the next featured Texas Rangers cold case. On the morning of Thursday, March 26th in 1987, a body of 13-year-old Veronica Taylor was found in a snow-covered field adjacent to Farm to Market 1729 in East Lubbock County. She suffered blunt force trauma. A sixth-grade student at Murphy Elementary in Lubbock, she was last seen alive leaving a relative's apartment the night before. If you know anything about this horrible death of this little 13-year-old girl, she had a really beautiful smile, too. They had her picture in the DPS release today. Veronica Taylor, back in 1987, now's the time you need to let them know. Call the TIPS line, 800-252-TIPS. Get in touch with DPS. Attorney General Paxton's joined a 20-state coalition urging Biden and Congress to reconsider packing the Supreme Court. It's led by the Attorney General of Florida, making a bunch of legal arguments why it's bad to do so. And there's this out of this U.S. News and World Report, but it's from the left-leaning Kaiser Health News, Kaiser Permanente. California and Texas differing routes to vaccination. That's the headline subhead. While Texas officials emphasized individual rights and protecting the economy, California focused on equity. That's right, the big phrase now with all the liberals and Democrats, equity in its vaccine rollout. And here's how the story reads. This is a left-leaning organization. California and Texas, the country's two most populous states, have taken radically different approaches to the pandemic and the vaccination campaign to end it. California has trumpeted its reliance on science and policies it says are aimed at improving social equity. Texas officials emphasized individual rights and protecting the economy, often ignoring public health warnings, which is bull, but encouraging vaccination while calling it a personal choice. Yet California's commitment to equity does not appear to have put the state ahead of Texas in vaccinating Latinos. California, 22% of Hispanics have been vaccinated by April 12th, and Texas, 21%. Texas, in general, has done much better than California at reaching highly vulnerable groups during the first months of vaccine distribution. According to a recent analysis by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Texas was 7th on the list. California was 5th from last. I love it. Yet California's commitment to equity doesn't appear to have put the state ahead of Texas in vaccinating. No. Typical, is it not? Just typical. Well, glad to see somebody was actually willing to recognize it, just like these newer big-time scientific studies coming out, once again echoing what we already knew and what the data already said, that masks don't have any effectiveness in preventing the spread of viral disease and pretty much not worth the effort. All right, we jump into the legislative news in a moment on Pride on Texas.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, Health, Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Pratt believes the best way to ensure limited government is to limit the number of libs and rhinos who get elected to office. Don't worry, he'll tell you who they are. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, every 2 years, the Democrats in the Texas legislature know they're in the minority, and so they do the wise thing. They pick one or two topics, one or two issues that will be their big, it's the thing, they put everything in it. Now, they go out to their base and the press with a lot of other issues, but they know they're not going to win on those. So they pick one or two big things, and they know if they can get a victory on those things, it'll be a big win for the left in the state of Texas, given it, their minority status in the legislature. This year, the big issue that the Democrats have chosen to pretty much hang everything on is expanding Obamacare in Texas. If you'll recall, there was an option for the states to expand fully Obamacare. I think 12 or more states haven't, but Texas has not. It's a big expansion of Medicaid, putting more and more people on Medicaid, which, by the way, serious studies showed the health outcomes of people with Medicaid were actually worse than people who had no insurance. Medicaid just is not something to really be bragging about and think is a panacea for anybody. But the Democrats have put everything on this. And sadly, as seems to be the case too often, a handful of rhinos, fake Republicans, pseudo-Republicans, are enabling them. Texas House Democrats rally behind Medicaid expansion ahead of budget debate. All this stuff began today, the budget debate in the House. Senate's already passed its version. Brad Johnson's Texan.news pointing out that the House Democratic Caucus announced that that's their big plan, to amend the budget to include Medicaid expansion under Obamacare. And Coleman and Guerra have three different budget amendments to try to get it done. If that fails, Coleman said he's got two other amendments that could make the state to seek certain waivers. Anyway, this is their effort. This is the big effort to expand Obamacare and thus further cement this socialist Obamacare into Texas government and culture. And that's the big it. That's the big deal for the Democrats. Majority of Texas House members support Medicaid expansion. Well, that's half of a headline, my friends, at one of the press outlets today. The other half is important because they've tried this every year. They're going all the way into it now because why? Well, the rest of the headline. After 9 GOP members join Democrats. That's right. And here's who they are. Here are the 9 Texas House Republicans who signed on to House Bill 3871 authored by leftist Julie Johnson of Carrollton, that would expand Obamacare in Texas, something we fought off for years here. Here are the 9. Steve Allison, so-called Republican. These are all fake Republicans. They all have a record of not being comfortable with any kind of restraint on government or conservatism. Steve Allison, San Antonio. Ernest Bales of Shepherd. Travis Clardy, I mentioned him this week already. Lubbock boy. Done bad out of Nacogdoches. He's turned out to be a huge disappointment. Dan Huberty, who last session chaired the Public Ed Committee of Houston, I've told you over and over, Dan Huberty is not any kind of conservative, and he is just barely any kind of Republican. Kyle Casale, oh, we've talked about him already on the show this year out of College Station. He's a rhino since the day he got elected. Stan Lambert of Abilene, who I don't know if Stan's a rhino or anything. I don't think Stan knows. I think Stan is 100% a puppet of the people who ran him for office and really doesn't have much underneath of his own volition. But whoever's pulling Stan Lambert's strings in Abilene, he is now on the list of 9 Republicans teaming up with the leftist Democrats in Texas to permanently cement Obamacare into our state government. Stan Lambert. Lyle Larson, oh yeah, former Speaker Strauss' big buddy and neighbor in San Antonio, no surprise there. John Rainey of College Station, that's right, the two College Station area reps are lefties. and Phil Stevenson of Wharton. Those Republicans bring the bill's support to 76 representatives, just barely a majority in the 150-member chamber. So this is consequential. This is agreeing to be with the Democrats so they can have a majority vote to expand Obamacare in the state of Texas. If we expand it, the feds increase their share of funding under the program, and the supporters all say, we're losing out on billions in federal funding. The problem is it good public policy to put more and more people on the welfare dole? Medicaid is pure welfare. With the raised income threshold and more recipients that fall within it, though, means more money spent on the whole under the program. Some states had expanded Medicaid, the expanded Obamacare, and went for this, including Democrat states, were shocked later because they found themselves stuck with a larger than projected cost due to unexpected enrollment levels. A lot of people ran to the welfare line. So there you go. Big piece in the Statesman. Texas House eyeing a Thursday vote on Medicaid expansion. Supporters say they have enough votes. And again, why do they have enough votes? Because the definitive list of fake Texas House Republicans, again, Lyle Larson of San Antonio, Steve Allison of San Antonio, Kyle Casal of College Station, Dan Huberty of Houston, Ernest Bales of Shepherd, Travis Clardy of Nacogdoches, Stan Lambert of Abilene, John Rainey of College Station, and Phil Stevenson of Wharton. Now, the Statesman piece points out that even if it's amended to include the expansion, significant obstacles remain. Let's hope. We fought this back for years. Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Patrick have spoken against expansion in the past. House Speaker Phelan said in January that expanding Obamacare is not on the table for this year's session, but that doesn't matter. Oh, for those of you, well, he was trying to help his district. He horse-traded. No, he didn't. Your Stan Lambert guy and the rest of these guys went with the Democrats on a very major, important, sort of an iconic issue and didn't get anything for it. Not at all. They're against leadership's position. Texas is one of 12 states that's not expanded Medicaid, and the world's just turned just fine. Of course, what's happened is Biden's now withdrawn the waiver. We had a waiver for many, many years. It went into the future for a long time, 10 years or more, something like that, 1115 Medicaid waiver, and Biden just pulled it back the other day. So now we have to Trump administration had granted it before they left office. And this is part of the plan. This was all coordinated with the Dems. They probably knew that was coming. They worked out a way to do it and try to force the issue. They wouldn't have the votes, as they've not had the votes years before, if it weren't for Stan Lambert of Abilene. You know that? Stan Lambert of Abilene's the 76th. Any one of those nine traitors to the party, any one of those nine who believe in big government programs and want to further cement Obamacare into Texas culture, any one of those nine is that extra vote to give Democrats the majority. So aren't you so proud in Abilene of Stan Lambert on this one? Did you notice the other day when I told you, speaking of this common sense bill to protect girls and women and women's sports, that the problem was, yeah, it passed the Senate, but what will it do in the House? Sure, the Speaker went and sent it to committee, to the Public Education Committee, but what did I tell you? That same speaker appointed a Democrat to be head of the Public Education Committee. And what did I tell you then? Committee chairman can keep a bill from coming up. And now, once again, Pratt was right. And you ought to just pay attention to what I tell you, not what you hear from a lot of these know-nothings and the young kids who, their whole egos, you know, doing interviews and being with the elected officials and stuff. They don't know anything. The point on this, ladies and gentlemen, is this is a setup. And here's the proof Pratt was right. Harold Dutton, Houston Democrat, told Hearst newspapers the bill didn't have the votes passed in his committee, which we don't know because he won't hold a vote to find out. So he just says that, and they often say that. And he says, the bill's probably not going to make it out of committee. I promised the author I'd give him a hearing, and we did. You got it? So they heard the bill, but he didn't call for the vote. So it's dead. I mean, there you go. And who is it? Dan Huberty, Kingswood. The influential Republican who indicated he would not support the legislation at Tuesday's hearing did not immediately respond to requests for comment because Dan Huberty's a left-winger. He's a liberal Republican, not really a Republican. And I told you this was what this was, a setup. Oh, we referred it to committee. Yep, they gave it a hearing, but didn't call for a vote and just claim there's no votes. How about Chairman Dutton, we have a vote and see if the votes are really there. They don't want to be on the record, folks.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
An important message about protecting life from Elizabeth and Dustin Burroughs.
Did you hear that 23 cities in Texas have now outlawed abortion? If they can do it, why hasn't Lubbock?
Well, Lubbock can. We have a chance to protect life on May 1st by becoming the next sanctuary city for the unborn.
I'm just shocked that Lubbock isn't already a sanctuary for life.
Well, that's why Senator Charles Perry, myself, and many pro-life advocates supported a City of Lubbock election on May 1st.
It seems we must defend the unborn in Lubbock, so what else can we do?
Well, we all have to show up to vote on May 1st. We have to pass this ordinance.
We in Lubbock know the value of life.
That's why Elizabeth and I are proud to join so many churches, pastors, and other people of faith in supporting this election on May 1st. You can learn more on my website at burrows4tx.com. That's burrows, the number 4, tx.com. God bless you, God bless the unborn, and please go vote for life on May 1st. Political ad paid for by Burrows for Texas.
Liberty is hard, which means putting up with things you may find objectionable. Now here's a man the enemies of liberty object to. It's Robert Pratt with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to the True Texan Studio, a.k.a. Allergy Central. Boy, these winds going back and forth have just knocked me for a loop this week. The rest of you with serious allergies know what I'm talking about. Back to the legislature, Iris Poole, writing for Texas Scorecard, tells us a follow-up on something I mentioned earlier this week. House approves reform to asset forfeiture. This is good. On Wednesday, House Bill 1441 by my friend Matt Schaefer, which would shift the state's burden of proof in certain asset forfeiture proceedings, was approved by the House. This is very important. This is, you know, where they just, they look like they were in drug dealers or something. So we're going to take the car and all their cash and everything else they had and then never have to show any proof, never have to make a case. There are very few requirements in this law for legal proof, and recovered assets often provide money to law enforcement agencies, so they take them. They get to spend them. You've seen these DA's offices. Oh, man, turns into big fund for things. Schaefer said the bill pertains to the proceedings in civil court where a person's property has been seized in asset forfeiture. We need it in the criminal cases, too, but I don't think that they were able to get that done yet. This is a good step forward. So this bill will ensure that the burden is always on the state, which is always correct. The government should always have the burden of proof, and it raises the standard of proof required from the bare minimum of quandary and evidence to intermediate standard of prudent convincing evidence, which is below beyond a reasonable doubt. And very good. And Senator, way to go, State Rep. Brian Slayton, because he requested a record vote, so we actually got a recorded vote on this. People who voted against it were funny because you got J.M. Lozano of Kingsville, a Republican, sort of. He's kind of in the middle. Anchia, Beckley, Johnson, and Lopez of San Antonio, Democrats. Yet this very thing has been a thing where conservatives who are constitutionalists and civil libertarian Democrats have been in agreement for years. They must have just voted that way because they thought, oh, this is something Republicans are for. Who knows? First Responders Pandemic Care Act by Senator Drew Springer passed the Senate. That's right. And the Lieutenant Governor hailing Springer's bill, SB 22, said that it will ensure that those first responders who were disabled or lost their lives due to COVID are treated as line of duty disabilities or death. I congratulate Springer and the Senate for unanimously passing Senate Bill 22. And so there you go. And then Texas committee unanimously passes bill that would end dog breed discrimination in public housing. Did y'all know that was a big deal? WFAA's Jay Wallace had the big story last night. Texas Legislative Committee unanimously passed a bill that would prohibit breed discrimination of dogs by public housing authorities. HB 3798 passed the House Committee of County Affairs. Currently, some public housing authorities ban certain breeds based on the assumption that breed of dogs more dangerous, and so a Democrat wanted to stop that, and whatever. Yeah, we can't deal with the big issues, but we can deal with stuff like that. We can't get committee hearings and get bills out on election integrity, but we got time to deal with crap like that. Well, Robert, are people, well, and don't be in public housing then. Whole idea of the American dream of owning your own so you can do your own thing whenever you rent from anybody. There are rules in place. They can have no pets allowed, whatever. If you're in public housing, the housing authority, which I used to sit on a board of, has a right to set rules about it. And they ought to be able to set rules about it. And there we go. We can do stuff like that, but then you got Texas Scorecard's Aaron Anderson reporting as the ledge moves through week 15 of the 20-week session. The GOP State House has passed just one election integrity bill identified as a priority by grassroots activists in the party, the Republican Party. Meanwhile, RPT priority House bills continue to be heard in House Elections Committee, which is yet to take up any of the Senate bills, which have passed the Senate. On Wednesday, the House Elections Committee heard 13 new bills, including two that meet the RPT's election integrity goals. House Bill 2339 by Click, it's a voter roll cleanup, and 4044 by Kane, which is letting the Secretary of State withhold funds from county elections officers who don't follow the rules. And they voted to advance a bunch of bills, but the big one, they're sent to calendars, and then you got to put them on and get them heard. And what happens is you get later in this, and they get put in the calendar, and then we run out of time. And then they say, we tried, we voted for it, we had to vote, we just ran out of time. And, of course, they created that situation. You got fewer than 40 days left. The House has only passed one RPT priority election integrity measure, HB 574, which is election fraud going from misdemeanor to second-degree felony. House Bill 6, the big top priority, the omnibus bill, was passed out of committee back in early April. But Kane, the chairman, he's a good guy on this, has a committee substitute, and that's yet to be sent to calendars. Hadn't even sent it to calendars, which I don't understand why. They may be dickering with the Senate on something to try to roll everything in one bill. I don't know. But they need to get busy. And it infuriates me when I read all the stupid stuff that gets time to be voted on, and yet major important things that are on everybody's top list, including the governor's emergencies and everybody else's, can't seem to get it done. It's like these people I used to work with who think that it's silly to try to get everything done in advance in case unforeseen things happen so you have time to react. They always want to just wait to the last minute on everything. It's highly unprofessional. And in the legislature, it's how you kill bills. Now, there was a story, a bill I mentioned. I didn't talk much about the story. It was in the Statesman, earlier in the week. Texas GOP opposition to bill on changing Negro place names raises sparks. It was a bill by Senator Boris Miles. And as I mentioned to you, it was something that was passed in the early 90s. It just hadn't happened. I don't know why, so it's kind of I don't even quite understand the purpose. It's a concurrent resolution. Just to say, I guess you ought to do what you were supposed to do 30 years ago about changing place names. And a guy there who was a member of the State Republican Executive Committee gave some testimony on it. And, you know, Mr. Wiley was his name. He was... He had some cogent arguments. He said, like, in the 30 years the ledge acted to change the names of Negro Lake, Negro Head Mountain, and similar locations, nearby communities have had time to act on their own behalf. If those communities have not stood up to get these name changes applied, then in my opinion, these are important to them. Maybe this is just the first level. It's a slippery slope. He made a really good argument that these kind of bills, no matter how good they sound, can end up having very negative consequences. And as I said, I don't necessarily agree with his arguments, but he made good arguments. But feeling the political pressure, I love the headline, Defying State GOP. They didn't defy state GOP. They defied one guy who's on the executive committee who was sent down there to testify on stuff, and supposedly speaking for the party, but really it's his own opinion. Defying state GOP, all Senate Republicans support effort to change Negro place names. That from the Statesman. All 18 Republicans in the Senate have signed on as co-authors to legislation condemning Texas place names. It's all it does. The bill to change them was 30 years ago. Localities didn't apply to do it, so it's just there. So they're condemning it. Okay, and that's all it is. It's a joint resolution. But see, that's the kind of stuff the Dems do, and that's the press wants to pick up and make it sound like it's a big deal. Legislation didn't do anything. There is so many things in the stack from the legislature. Oh, by the way, telehealth expansion and prescription savings program got tentative approval in the House this week. That telehealth HB4 expands virtual health care to Medicaid. I've been using telehealth for years. I like it. And HB 18 is lowering out-of-pocket prescription drug costs for certain uninsured individuals, getting them a discounted rate. That passed. And the Senate did pass their version of the ban on taxpayer-funded lobbying, Senate Bill 10. That's good. The House says they're getting things done. They put out how are we doing compared to past session sheet claiming, oh boy, they're really rolling, 258 bills earlier in the week passed out. Well, in the last session, it was 262. I don't know. They always like to do this comparison. The fact is they sit around and waste a lot of time, and they use that time to kill bills they don't want to be on the record as opposing while they tell you they were for them. So, you know, it doesn't mean much to me. We'll be back in a moment.
Fred on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver in the entire bill. Total spending was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, we used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know. If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
It's Texas that matters most on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan in chief, Robert Pratt.
Let's talk a little more about this big ordinance that's on the ballot in Lubbock. Early voting is underway. Election day is May 1st. I know you folks in Abilene have a city council race. What's the point of even commenting on that when I've looked at it? A lot of people have some local elections. Lubbock, the main thing that's on the ballot in the city of Lubbock, there's a school bond for some people in Lubbock Cooper ISD that actually might be in the city of Lubbock limits. But the only thing on the ballot's this pro-life ordinance, the Sanctuary City for the Unborn ordinance. And there's a lot of, I expected this to be a big deal and strange because it is getting national attention. I've seen it across the country and it's being mentioned everywhere. The Texas Signal's the Obama era group that's it's a press outlet for leftism. And they've got a story on it by Jessica Montoya Coggins. Lubbock voters head to the polls on a Sanctuary City for Unborn ordinance. And they just go on to, trying to quote people to make it sound like a ridiculous thing. Then they get into one of the chief proponents of the ordinance is State Senator Charles Perry. Perry's also the author of Senate Bill 29, which would ban transgender athletes from participating, blah, 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 which they're already banned in UIL rules, but nevertheless. Oh, boy. Then you get the problem we've always had. I was county chairman here. This is one of the things that it just frustrates Republicans. It's like you folks in Abilene. You've got this really nice fella. I mean, he's mild and meek. Stan Lambert is your state rep. He's kind of a nice guy to be around. Well, but he's a placeholder. Other people are pulling the strings. It's one of the reasons they got somebody like that. So he's one of the nine Republicans who are going to hand Democrats the votes to expand Obamacare in Texas. We have a problem with this in the Republican Party. And a few years back, we had a real problem in Lubbock, and it happens ever so often with the Republican Women's Club, which is a big club, being led by somebody who is not, in my opinion, much of a Republican. And I don't understand these groups. I don't understand why. Well, I do. It's human nature. I've talked about it ad nauseum on this program over the years. People vote for somebody because they're like a nice guy. You're not voting for somebody to share a beer with, but they do this. Oh, my kids played softball with that guy. That guy's in my church. You know, you may know he's not even conservative, but you know him. Well, it's just crazy. You need to vote for people based on what they believe and what they do. But in the Texas Signal, one of the most left-wing deals, it's a political organization, they go to Aurora Farthing, who was once Aurora Farthing, to get a quote out of Lubbock against this thing. She was once, not long ago, when? President in 2011, and then treasurer before that, a Lubbock area Republican women? For now, all eyes are on Lubbock and whether or not voters in the city will support or reject Proposition A. Aurora Farthing from the group Protect Lubbock Taxpayers is firmly opposed to the ordinance. If the state legislators that support this ordinance want to enact this type of law, they should do so in the state legislature. It's our view the citizens of Lubbock are being used as pawns by the proponents of this ordinance, said Farthing. Now, this is specious at best and just outright lying at worst. Aurora Farthing's a fake Republican. And she's obviously not pro-life. But this is dumb. What do you mean? It's a municipal ordinance. What do you mean that they're using Lubbock as a pawn? What do you mean they should do it in the legislature? Hey, Aurora, they did. Last session, Stickland's Amendment. We talked about it in our long-form interview. Go listen to the interview with Mark Lee Dixon. We go into detail about it. It's in the state law reminding cities, not creating the right, but reminding cities just last legislative session that they have the right to ban abortion within their jurisdiction. So the legislature did, Aurora. They did do this. You're so full of it. You fake Republicans protecting taxpayers. Isn't that sickening? The same bunch of people who always get behind big spending and bonds and everything, but all of a sudden, when we're talking about saving the lives of human beings in the womb, these same people will go out and, oh my God, we're protecting taxpayers and don't give a damn about the alternative that we're talking about, the murder of babies inside the womb for the solely for the convenience of the living. KCBD Television, their head guy, Dan Jackson, did one of his commentaries saying, we've aired a bunch of stories letting you know we had nothing to do with this mailer. It's called a deception alert. What happened was some group on this thing, Lubbock Coalition for Healthcare Access, one of these pro-abortion groups, you know, was put together, had a mailer from an agency in Austin that features their news logo prominently. And they point out they have not taken a position in their news department on one side of the issue or another, and they don't do that. Sort of is true, but not all. I mean, Dan's own opinion column takes a position, his commentary. But he says, I understand why a political action committee would want an endorsement like this from the most trusted, most watched news on the South Plains. But to falsely hijack our local news image and promote their cause, especially one as polarizing as abortion, is unethical, deceptive, and devious. Dan, do people who think it's okay and good even to kill babies in the womb care or have any concept of ethics? Do they have a problem with being devious? I don't know. Go talk to Aurora Farthing. She apparently is all against the ordinance, too. Maybe she can explain the ethics of it all. She's not part of that deal. Don't get me wrong. It's just the position as a whole. Where's the thought of ethics involved in it to begin with? Well, there was a really good piece, by the way, at Texas A&M, Pro-Life Aggies put flyers around advertising their pregnant and parenting scholarship. This is a great student-led program. Because you got parents who are in college and struggling because they're having to take care of kids at home. Moms and dad, that's all it is. It's not an abortion thing. The pro-abortion advocates tore the signs down and replaced them with flyers advertising for Planned Parenthood. I kid you not. And their signs said at A&M, my body, my choice, a woman's life is more important than that of a fetus. Excuse me. If a fetus has a life, then you're admitting that the fetus is a human being. Thus, it's a woman. It's equal. But anyway, this person writing this piece for Texas Right to Life pointed out that she chose life for her daughter and is very glad she did, and that program was really important to her at A&M. She's just shocked. They would go around and turn it. It's just pregnant parenting scholarships. So you got all these people with children or who are pregnant going to school, and that's all it does is help them out. But, oh, we can't even have that. See, there's no compassion for the woman in this movement. She writes, pro-abortion activists claim to be pro-woman and pro-choice, yet sadly the only choice for women they support is abortion. Great piece by Charles Donovan and Robert Marshall appearing in the Wall Street Journal. How Planned Parenthood Can Atone for Margaret Sanger. They point out that Sanger, the eugenicist founder, their board overlapped with the American Eugenics Society for decades, even after Sanger's retirement as president in 1959. In 60, her successor, Alan Guttmacher, was the society's vice president, while also Planned Parenthood's president. It goes on and on. I mean, they got a leadership affiliate position in their German affiliate for Hans Harmsen, who had served as an officer in Nazi Germany's hereditary health court, which ordered mandatory sterilizations in the name of racial hygiene. Sanger's ideas about racial betterment, the elimination of human weeds, as she called them, weren't merely the regrettable common views of a different time. She went further than most. In her proposed baby code of 1934, Sanger recommended the license to marry should be separated from licenses to have children. Article 4, meant to apply nationwide, stated no woman shall have the legal right to bear a child and no man shall have the right to become a father without a permit for parenthood. And it goes on and on. Get rid of feeble-minded persons, people with congenital, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's pure Nazi-style eugenics. It went on for a long time. And the question they ask, you know, is Planned Parenthood, they continue to endorse abortion based on prenatal diagnosis of disabilities. As of 2021, they continue to endorse it, which is purely eugenics. They say, ask, what is that if not an updated application of Sanger's vision of a century of Planned and a century of Planned Parenthood practice? They're just saying, look, I mean, if y'all want to atone for Margaret Sanger, quit recommending abortion for people that might have Down syndrome or something. That whole movement is sick and depraved. I'll end on that. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
An important message about protecting life from Elizabeth and Dustin Burroughs.
Did you hear that 23 cities in Texas have now outlawed abortion? If they can do it, why hasn't Lubbock?
Well, Lubbock can. We have a chance to protect life on May 1st by becoming the next sanctuary city for the unborn.
I'm just shocked that Lubbock isn't already a sanctuary for life.
Well, that's why Senator Charles Perry, myself, and many pro-life advocates supported a City of Lubbock election on May 1st.
It seems we must defend the unborn in Lubbock, so what else can we do?
Well, we all have to show up to vote on May 1st. We have to pass this ordinance.
We in Lubbock know the value of life.
That's why Elizabeth and I are proud to join so many churches, pastors, and other people of faith in supporting this election on May 1st. You can learn more on my website at burrows4tx.com. That's Burroughs, the number 4, TX.com. God bless you, God bless the unborn, and please go vote for life on May 1st. Political ad paid for by Burroughs for Texas.